Thank you for singing so well, especially that last song, which paints the picture of Christians as soldiers of the cross in a wicked world. That picture is very common in Scripture. That's the picture I'd like to appeal to today as we think about being soldiers for Jesus. I bid your attention to 1 Peter chapter 1 as a beginning place, where we will see the picture given to those who'd been scattered for the cause of Christ. And let's hear what they're called in 1 Peter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. And so the apostle says, pilgrims, grace be to you. You who had been scattered all over the then known world for the sake of your Lord Jesus. And then if you'll turn to the second chapter, he comes back to that theme in verse 11. And he says, I beg of you, sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. So the apostle says, soldiers, pilgrims, sojourners, you're living where you don't belong, and you're in a war. That war goes on constantly. And so he's calling upon them to war against those fleshly lusts, to stand up for your Lord Jesus. You're in a battle, Christian. Now let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6, a passage very familiar to this audience, but one which paints it as vividly as anywhere in Scripture. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And so we just sang, soldiers of Christ, arise and put on the panoply of God. You probably didn't know that word. The panoply. That's the complete set of armor He's provided to protect us in the war in which we're engaged. You're at war, Christian. Soldiers of Christ, arise and put the armor on. Be ready to stand strong in the power of His might. Be soldiers in a foreign land. The title of this song, written by Tony Lane and David Lee and recorded by American country music singer John Michael Montgomery, is Letters from Home. It was released in February of 2004 as a single and title track for the album of the same name. It peaked at number 2 on Billboard. It has imagery in it that we're very familiar with. We've been watching it for 15 years as our soldiers are in a foreign land somewhere trying to help support truth and freedom. I heard Jeff May use this song in a lesson some years ago, and it made a great impact on me. I want to share it with you, not because I want to promote the song, but it teaches a lesson that soldiers in a foreign land need to hear. My dear son, it's almost June. I hope this letter catches up with you and finds you well. It's been dry, but they're calling for rain, and everything's the same old same here in Johnsonville. Your stubborn old daddy ain't said too much, but I'm sure he sends his love. And she goes on in a letter from home. I hold it up and show my buddies, like we ain't scared and our boots ain't muddy. They all laugh like there's something funny about the way I talk when I say, Mama sends her best, y'all. I fold it up and put it in my shirt, pick up my gun and get back to work. And it keeps me driving on, waiting on letters from home. My dearest love, it's almost dawn and I've been lying here all night wondering where you might be. I saw your mama and I showed her the ring. Man on television said something, so I couldn't sleep. But I'll be all right. I'm missing you. And this is me kissing you, X's and O's, in a letter from home. I hold it up and show my buddies like we ain't scared and our boots ain't muddy. And they all laugh because she calls me honey. But they take it hard because I don't read the good stuff. I fold it up and put it in my pocket, pick up my gun and get back to work. And it keeps me driving on, waiting on letters from home. Dear son, I ain't written, but sitting here tonight alone in the kitchen, it occurs to me I might not have said it. So I'll say it now, son. You make me proud. I hold it up and show my buddies like we ain't scared and our boots ain't muddy. But no one laughs, because there ain't nothing funny when a soldier cries. And I just wipe my eyes and fold it up and put it in my shirt and pick up my gun and get back to work. And it keeps me driving on, waiting on letters from home. If you can imagine with me as you look at that picture, which we'll now take off the screen because I want it in your mind. You're a soldier far away from home. You're in a foreign field. You don't belong here. You're among strangers, and you yourself will never belong because this isn't home. I want that imagery to sink into us this morning as we think about what our Lord says to us in His Word, in His letters from home. And a great place to begin is Hebrews chapter 2. There's much about this particular imagery that has powerful lessons for every one of us. So let's start with our commander, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the best commander you'll ever have. If you've listened to Scott Hartzell, one of ours here, who's a 2-star general in the Marines, he will tell you that the best commanders are the ones that get out there with their people and lead their soldiers personally and show them by their own courage and devotion to duty what service means. Hebrews the 2nd chapter in verse 9 says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the author of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Another version of verse 10 says to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. You see, it was our Lord's plan that our captain would leave the glory of heaven, of which he says in John 17, give me again the glory that I had with you from the beginning. Or John, the first chapter, that says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made, and He was the light of the world. That's who we're talking about, beloved. Jesus, the Son of God. But our commander left the portals of heaven and entered enemy territory. I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 2 and listen to this graphic description of our commander, beginning in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. That's what our commander did. There has never been a commander who so sacrificed for his soldiers. But ours humbled himself even to the cruel death of a common criminal for my sake. And while he was on earth, beloved, he faced the greatest battle that's ever been faced. Our commander against the commander of the forces of evil. And I'm convinced that the commander of the forces of evil, Satan himself, was given as much power as he ever had in all history while Jesus was on earth. We know from many instances in the book of Mark we've been studying recently and all the other Gospels that Satan was able to impact the very bodies and minds of people by imposing his demons upon them. And our Lord Jesus defeated him on every side. So in his point of maximum power, it seems to me, our Savior entered his territory and defeated him on every hand by the mighty hand of God. Genesis, the third chapter, long since portrayed God's battle plan. It was God's plan that our enemy would injure Jesus' heel, but Jesus would crush his head. And so he did. And he took the keys of sin and of death out of his hands. He now holds the key to Hades and to death. And in Hebrews, that same chapter to describe to us how our captain of salvation was made perfect through sufferings, it said, since the children had to partake in flesh and blood, he did the same, that he might become a perfect high priest for them. And deliver them who all their lifetime were subject to bondage. You see, there's a sense in which all of us were POWs. And our commander set us free because of his own personal sacrifice. Romans, the sixth chapter, says we were slaves to sin. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's our commander, beloved. So as soldiers of the cross, take heart. The victory's already been won. And while you may feel isolated and away and in a strange place, and as you look around you, you see less and less here in this old world to which you can connect. And surely we see that even in the United States of America. Our commander's gone back to be with his Father in heaven. And he's written us letters to keep us moving on. Let's first be reminded how he behaved himself while he was on earth. And that, my beloved, is a series of lessons that ought to expand to the next 6 years. I will point out one thing to us today. While Jesus was on earth, partaking of the human condition and experiencing the horrible things that we do because we're in a land of sin and we have an enemy that's constantly after us, Jesus experienced that. Where was his mind during that time? Would you turn with me to the 16th chapter of John? And let's listen to where his mind was. Our master's our perfect example. John 16, verse 33 says, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Jesus spoke these words and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you've given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you've given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was." I will tell you, when you read the story of the life of Christ on earth, you read the story of one who was constantly having his mind on where he was going. His whole purpose for coming was to go prepare a place for us and to be sure that we had been properly prepared. His mind was constantly on home. One of the great indicators of that is how often he separated himself from everybody on earth and got by himself and spent time alone in a secret place with the God of heaven, his Father, in heaven. Because in his human condition, he wanted and needed, it appears to me, constant connection with home. Don't you think soldiers in Afghanistan and Iraq and Syria and other places of terrible turmoil try their best to keep connected with home where there's some peace? That's what Jesus did. And I'm saying to you, beloved brother and sister in Christ, fellow soldier, one of the keys to your success as a Christian and one of the ways you will have victory in Christ Jesus is if you do what he did. In John, the 14th chapter, here's his first letter from home. I want you to listen. This was said to his disciples before he left, but it rings down through the centuries to you, soldier. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." Think about getting a letter like that, soldier, when you're in the midst of the battle. You've been shot at and abused, and you yourself have fallen in some ways, and you're feeling discouraged, and you get this letter, And Jesus says, don't you be troubled. I've been there, and I've gone back home, and I'm preparing a place just for you. And when I come back, I'm going to take you to be with me, and we'll be there forever together. You think about the smile on your face. You think about the tear in your eye as your elder brother and the great Father in heaven have assured you there's a place at home for you. And don't you give up. Now, a little bit later in that same chapter, he told those disciples to whom he was speaking, the apostles in particular, in verse 26, when the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name comes, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. And in the 16th chapter, verse 13, it says, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. You, my special emissaries, are going to have a special comforter, a helper who will bring to your mind everything I said to you. And he will teach you the truth you need to spread to the rest of the soldiers. And you do that. And now, would you turn to Colossians 3? And I want to read you a portion of a second letter from home. This came from the Apostle Paul by the guidance of that Holy Spirit, the Comforter who led him into all truth. Colossians 3, verse 1. Thank you for turning with me. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also appear with him in glory. Here's a letter from the Apostle Paul, who went before you, soldiers, who suffered untold agony and hardships. You would need but read 2 Corinthians 11 to get a small taste of what the Apostle Paul went through because he was a Christian. You have not yet suffered unto blood for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you give up, soldier. And the apostle would say to you, you look up to heaven, you keep your eyes on Jesus Christ, your master, seated at the right hand of God. And by the way, the life that you live is really caught up in him. That's where life is. That's reality. Don't you get caught up in this old world and what it has to offer you. You set your mind so firmly on things above that nothing will turn or shake you to the right hand or to the left. And no enemy that Satan can throw at you can cause you to be discouraged or disturbed to the point that you're ready to quit as a soldier. No, sir, not when your eyes are on things above. That's where your citizenship is anyway. Now, I want to paint a picture for you. Marilyn and Benjamin and I were privileged to live in a foreign country for 2 years. I say privileged because that experience taught us, I think, more than anything, I'll just speak for me, about being in a place where you don't belong. We never spoke the language very fluently, except Benji. He did pretty well. But you know, when you don't speak a person's language, you don't really grasp what's going on. There's a lot of nuance in language. And even though people translate, you often don't get it. And besides that, when you don't speak the language and you're not part of the culture and you've not lived there, you're not really a part of it. It's never really home. That was good for us. And I want to tell you something precious. When we were privileged to come back and enter our airport, that's the way you do it these days, and we came to a place as we were getting back home, and here's a line that says, for U.S. citizens. And here's a huge long line with a bunch of foreigners. And we get to pass them up, and we get to walk up to the U.S. citizen line. And they say, "Welcome home." I want you to think about that picture, beloved, when one of these days our commander is going to come back and say, "Welcome home. Welcome into your real home where life is. And set your mind on that. And don't you ever forget it." How could you ever get comfortable, Christian, and feel at home in a place where people are shooting at you all the time? Isn't that what's happening here? We have an enemy who's after us night and day. And all you need to do is think back just a little while in this group of people, and you can think about some of the torment this life has to offer, as we often succumb to the fleshly lust that war against the soul. And we wish, "Dear God, let me out of here." And the Lord says, "If you then be raised with Christ," in his letter from home, "don't you throw away that letter. You keep that letter close so you can read it again. If you be raised with Christ, you set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And okay, maybe you succumbed to the lust of the flesh and the war defeated you in that battle. You haven't lost, because our Savior came and defeated that enemy. You can still win. And thanks to his love and grace, we can all come back and stand up and fight for him again. Don't you give up." And maybe you're thinking ahead with me. Where would you go next? I'm going to go to another real beautiful letter. It's the end of the book of Revelation. A letter straight from God through the Apostle John, who was privileged to be as close to Jesus as anybody on earth. He knows our commander, and he knows what he can do for us. In the 20th chapter of Revelation, verse 10, it says, "The devil who deceived them and was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." Your enemy is going to end up in hell. That's what the Bible says. That's a letter from home. You can learn to hate Satan. And I'll tell you one thing you better learn, soldier. The older you get, you better learn a deeper respect for your enemy. Because he will defeat you on every side unless Jesus is in you and you have his armor on. You cannot win. You can't. So you develop a deeper respect for that enemy. I have an idea those guys in Afghanistan developed a deep respect for walking along paths where they put these explosives that could kill you at any moment. It's kind of like that with the devil. And may I say something very plainly here? Everybody, please listen to me. When you know there's IUDs out there, there's dangerous devices that are going to explode and kill you, you walk carefully. And I want to tell you one explosive device that's sitting there ready to destroy you. That's your computer and your television and other forms of media. They're sitting there. And while I understand there's some good uses for those things, there's good use for explosives, but you better be careful with them. And your commander would say to you, "You stay away from those things. You guard yourself. You be watchful constantly, because Satan is constantly on alert. But here's the hope. One of these days, the devil who deceived you and all his cohorts are going to end up in the lake of fire. That's a promise. It's a letter from home. Now turn to the 21st chapter. Verse 4 says, "And God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have all passed away." It's a letter from home. We've gone through some pain here as a congregation, and a lot of individuals have, because of the world we live in and are succumbing to it. There's a place, Jesus said, "I'm preparing for you," where there is no more of that. None of it. I want you to put your mind on that, Christian. Get it so focused on what God's prepared for us. You don't belong here. And the closer we can get our minds to being absorbed and concentrated on what He's prepared for us, the less likely we are to succumb to the enemy who's after us to keep us here and head toward his eternal destiny. And then starting with verse 9 of this passage and all the way to verse 5 of chapter 22, we're not going to read it all, but there's the most beautiful description, the place of ultimate beauty that God's preparing for us that Jesus promised in one of his letters. Earth is God's footstool. Imagine, Christian, if you're privileged to be someplace on earth that you just consider one of the most beautiful places you've ever been. It's hard to rank those kinds of places. Marilyn and I have been to Austria and Switzerland, other parts of Europe. I will tell you, when you stand on the edge of a mountain range with such beauty surrounding you, you just want to go, "Glory to God in the highest." And then you imagine, just think of the most beautiful place on earth you've ever been. That is nothing compared to what He's prepared for us. We've got a letter telling us, "You ain't seen nothing yet," in better English than that. And keep your mind on it. And it's a place that only the good is there. Only those who care about what's right. Now I want to go to Hebrews one more time, chapter 12. In this great chapter, we're told again about our captain. Verse 2 says, "Looking into Jesus, the captain or author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul." You've not yet resisted the bloodshed striving against sin? Are you tired with sin? Put your eyes back on Jesus at the right hand of God. He fought it the whole time he was here, even the bloodshed. What is it that helped him endure the cross and despise the shame? He looked for the joy that was set before him. You need to, too, soldier. There's so much prepared for us. It's worth every single bit of anything we would suffer. Walking alone at eve and viewing the skies afar. That song speaks of thinking about God. I beg of you, Christian, when time comes for you, as a soldier of the cross, you're feeling down and discouraged, you get out somewhere and walk alone with God and let Him fill you up again. And get out those letters He sent and let Him refresh your spirit. I close this morning with 2 Peter chapter 3. My aim is just to read this section to you. And if you're here this morning and you're a Christian who's fallen and strayed and been discouraged and you need special help in prayers, wouldn't it be a wonderful time to let us help you with that? And if you're here and you're not a Christian, may I beg of you to listen to what this passage says in a letter from home. And don't let it go past your mind. Verse 8, 2 Peter 3. Beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We hope you'll do that if you have not. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things are dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conduct and godliness? You see, soldiers of the cross believe that this life is going to end and this world is going to end. As our commander and master comes back, destroys all of this and takes us to a new heaven and a new earth. You believe that with all your heart? There's a letter from home that confirms it. I hope you believe it with all your heart. And if you do, what kind of conversation, what kind of conduct, what kind of life should we live? I pray that we're all encouraged by letters from home. Not unrealistic, but encouraged. And I thank you for your careful attention. And if you're not a Christian, we hope you'll come in penitence, confess the name of Jesus, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. And those of us who have given that wonderful confession in previous times, may we stand up for Him, soldiers of the cross, firm and strong and in the power of His might, and be encouraged by letters from home. Let's stand as we sing the song that's been selected.